RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So, to the report commissioned by Organics Aotearoa New Zealand, OANZ, evaluating the cost of releasing GMOs to New Zealand's economy. We've talked a bit about this. Andrew Hoggard was on. We've talked with Claire Bleakley, of course. We thought we'd invite Tiffany Tompkins, who is Chief Executive of Organics Aotearoa New Zealand, onto the program to specifically zero in on this. Hi, Tiffany. Thanks for coming in.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so NZIER, the New Zealand Institute of Economic Research, did the study. All right. So can you tell us about what brought that together? And then we can get on to what they say.
Yeah. So OANZ has been on a fact-finding mission to learn about the government's intentions for deregulating gene technology in New Zealand. They're looking at changing the laws about what GMOs are. And we wanted to know what the economic impact of these changes could be, not only for the organic sector, but for New Zealand Inc. Because the government is not looking at the economic impact that these changes might have. And we thought it was pretty much a common sense question to ask whether or not there would be an impact. And so we hired NZIER by asking them, you know, what is that clean green status worth that we keep trading on as New Zealand? The world knows us. I'm an American looking into New Zealand and thinking it's the cleanest, greenest place I've ever been to. It's this magical place, and living here, it's amazing and I love it. And I want to keep it that way. I want to keep it clean, beautiful and green, and keep, you know, small farmers in business and keep going with the New Zealand way of life. So that's why we asked NZIER to look at this, and what they came up with was pretty astonishing.
Can't believe that you would look at the economic impact of such a major change, yet promote it as potentially missing out on economic gains.
Yeah, I had a similar reaction. If you're going to change anything, right, especially if you're going to introduce new technologies, what the impact of that technology would be having in your country would be something that I would want to know. If you keep saying there's going to be all these great benefits, well, that's awesome, but can you tell us what they are? What's the research that you have that you can share with us? Because, again, I have 40 plus years of knowing and living with GMOs over in the States. We've been promised, you know, drought-resistant crops. We've been promised lots of things, and we have yet to see any of that come to fruition. What we have seen is a lot of farmer debt, really high suicide rates in our farming communities, selling out to agribusinesses, and a commodification to the lowest denominator of crops with GMO crops. And so knowing that's what the history has been in some parts of the world, it'd be really, we want to make sure that wouldn't happen in your own country. And so opening up and having a conversation about what are the benefits and letting everyone know what those benefits are would be a great starting point, too.
Another thing that hasn't gone unnoticed is the enthusiasm by which, and we've had Judith Collins on this program, we've talked about this loosely, and that was a month or two ago. David Seymour's also worn a white coat and promoted the amazing benefits. And, you know, Judith and the Prime Minister were in that lab with their coats on.
It's very complex science. I think that's part of the problem is that people are thinking, oh, we can leave it up to others to do the thinking for us. And it's taken me years to understand just a nugget of what I know. And I probably know a lot more than a lot of people. And the complexity of it can sometimes be purposeful, using lots of different types of language to call GMOs other things like genetic engineering or, you know, genetic technologies. It's all changing and organisms. So the language spoken, the complexity of the science is quite daunting. And so I think the approach of slowing down, having a conversation, getting everybody on the same page, really looking at the cost-benefit analysis is something that would just be normal behavior. So I'm not quite sure why the government is choosing to go a different way.
Well, to endorse it like salespeople, makes it difficult for the wider discussion to take place, doesn't it? Because the assumption will be, well, and we can see that it is for many, if the Prime Minister thinks it's good or the Science Minister thinks it's good, she wouldn't say that if she didn't know about that. Well, the reality is she doesn't know about.
Yeah, I don't know what the Prime Minister knows or doesn't know, but I would say it is absolutely a very complex science.
He's just jollying. They're just jollying the situation.
But it is also, what's not complex is having a conversation about costs and benefits and pros and cons. And every technology that you can kind of think of has some sort of regulation tied to it. So just opening up and deregulating to a degree that would make us an outlier in the entire world of being the most deregulated GE country, gene tech country in the world. I don't know. I'm dumbfounded when it comes to not understanding what the potential downside to that is, because every technology is seemingly regulated except for the one that they're thinking can just be out in the environment with us. As a mother, I find that very disturbing. I don't want my children to be guinea pigs for gene technology that's just,
and we don't want clapping seals
into the environment. So yeah.
All right. The study authors, NZIER study authors, what do they come back with?
So we asked them to look at the value of that clean green image that non-GMO image that we trade on as a country. So New Zealand exports total primary production about $54 billion annually. NZIER came back and said they think 10 to 20 billion of that 54 billion is at risk for being lost every year because of widespread GMO contamination, which is where we think this bill is headed towards.
Well, that's a huge hit.
Huge. Yeah. And it's using data that's just available. It's that's available right now, but there's so much more that we need to look into. This is a starting point. We had to raise funds to hire these economists to do their job. This isn't something, it's actually an outstanding number that we didn't even think it would be that high.
Right.
Yeah. So when a really well-respected economic research unit comes back and says, actually, this is what we're looking at.
Fall off your chair.
Seriously. Yeah. We need to look at any hits seriously, but we need to look at something that could be so catastrophic. Absolutely seriously. And we, again, let's have a discussion. Let's roll up our sleeves and do the work and have those conversations, because it's so needed. And we need to know all the economic analysis that's attached with this. This is what good policy and policy making is about.
Mm. Because to make the case, you have to show how we're better off going GM way than losing 10 to 20 billion annually.
Absolutely.
And growth opportunities that come with a raising awareness of food, which New Zealand can benefit from. I don't think many people would argue from that, into the future. But there's been no economic argument to explain that at all.
No. And again, there's been lots of changing of vocabulary. Oh, these are new breeding techniques. This is new genetic engineering. And I know that GMOs are going through a rebrand, because if I had the same, I guess if people looked at me as the way that they do, the old GMOs, I would rebrand as well if I wasn't so popular. But it is essentially the same technology. We can just do it much faster and much more efficiently. But it doesn't mean that there's no consequences to any of the changes that are done. There's always going to be a reaction to an action. So we need to take our time and understand what those are, and make sure that they're completely safe before sending them out into the environment. So what I'm afraid is, potentially going to be happening is that New Zealand becomes the dumping ground of the world. It'll be really cheap for the Bears and, ex-Monsantos of the world to come and set up facilities here. They don't have to even create labs, because they can make incremental changes that will create much bigger changes that would then normally be regulated. There's so many loopholes in this idea that Yeah, it'll be really cheap for anybody to come and do all their scientific experiments, and they can just throw it outside. They can throw it on your neighbor's cat. You can do it in your garage. You don't even need a lab.
Wow. That rebranding of GM that you just mentioned. So what is the rebranding pointing towards? Are they trying to say that, what, gene editing techniques are not necessarily or technically genetic modification? What is the rebranding?
Yeah, the government and the HasNo Act, and there's a lot of international pressure around the world right now to redefine what a GMO is. So things that are close to nature are things that have been gene edited, or they're new breeding techniques, and they're so close to nature, you don't need to worry about it. There's nothing wrong with them. And therefore, they're not GMOs, because GMOs have a bad rap. And GMOs mean, that's like a big change. But the idea of new breeding techniques and gene editing, it's just a little bit of gene editing. It's not much. It's just like we're speeding up evolution.
And that's what we had Andrew Hoggard on, Associate Minister of Agriculture, and that's what he said. I think it was him, or was it Wayne Langford of Federated Farmers? It all kind of blends into one. But saying that, oh no, this is just speeding up what nature would do a little more slowly. I said, yeah, by 120,000 years more slowly.
Could be. I mean, but the thing is that there's, regardless of the time, every time you change something, something else changes. There are always unintended consequences. And if you have no traceability for any of that, so if something goes wrong and there's an unintended consequences with the changes that you're making, because there always will be a reactive change, then how do you even start to fix the problem when it becomes a big problem? How do you trace it? How do you know where it started from? Who, where do you go? How do you find the source? Who's responsible for it then? Because I can do whatever I want on my farm. I can totally contaminate your farm with my experiments. Let's say I've got a fungus problem and I'm tinkering around and I'm creating some new, new sprays that I've created, and it drifts into your farm, and now your farm is genetically modified, or heaven forbid, I put a new organism into your crops, and then you go to sell those, and those in the supply chain get bound for a new genetic organism, which will halt trade altogether. Or you will lose your market share. And the person that was responsible for the contamination actually has no liability. So now your insurance is going to go up, because you've got to insure against all the potential of GE contamination and the amount of testing that you're going to have to do just to stay on top of some of the GMOs that we can recognize. Your costs are going to go up considerably as a farmer, unless you go the GE route.
Yeah. I think Act of God was mentioned in the windblown thing.
Yeah.
But that negates the fact that someone put it there in the first place to be blown. That wasn't an act of God, but okay.
Yeah. Well, it's really unfortunate, because, I think everything's about to get a lot more expensive too. And this is another one of those cost-benefit analyses that we need to do. We need to understand, because you're selling in a market that says, oh, you're from New Zealand, this is not going to be a GMO product. When you go back to sell that same product, and we are GE Nation, what impact is that going to have on you? And then how are you going to prove to your customer that you're still not GE? And if you get that certification, whatever that comes in at, you're going to have to test, you're going to have to pay for it.
A couple of things that caught my eye. In 2001, there was a study that losing clean, green image could reduce dairy exports by 241 million to 569 million. So that is nearly 25 years ago. The Pure New Zealand, 100% pure brand for New Zealand, is worth billions of dollars as well. And people decide to come here, don't they? Not based on based on the image that they want to experience. And that doesn't mean they want to consume a whole lot of food necessarily. It's just that they feel comfortable, or they believe in that image. The interesting thing, comparing 2001 study to your study from NZIER and the 10 to 20 billion, that's a huge increase in what could be lost.
Yeah. from your tourism industry as well. Yeah.
And factor in the tourism industry, and that could come into some billions too in the big picture. So there's a huge growth of what there is to lose, and that suggests that there is more to lose as this potential gets even bigger. And again, that is a huge point. But
yeah.
Crickets again, nada, no mention of it. I mean, if I was a big scale tourism operator, this could keep me awake at night.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it has a lot of people thinking this is the opposite of how they would see New Zealand. This is the opposite of how New Zealand has branded itself globally. You're putting everything up at risk for some potential possible silver bullet techniques that we have yet to see in 40 years of gene technology going commercial in the world. And for what? To be a commodity player?
If I asked Judith Collins, tell me one thing that knocked it out of the park. She can't. There isn't one. It hasn't happened yet.
No.
Anywhere.
You're putting it all on the line. And in the meantime, you're going to open it up to all the GE crap from all the rest of the world. They're going to be here selling all the GE material because you can't change your laws. And they'd be like, this is only for us. And nah, you're just opening the door to a huge onslaught of GE salesmen. They'll be knocking on the door. They'll be bringing in their products. And our environment is going to be for the worse of it. And our trade and our image is going to tarnish.
And then, of course, there's the internal economy, too, with organic sold within the country.
Yeah.
Imagine that's worth a fair bit as well. Okay, NZIER comes with credibility. So this report will be credible. So I guess, you know, that's one of the reasons for doing it with them. Yep. What sort of cut through now has there been from this? Has it caught anyone's attention that you're thinking, oh, good, I'm glad they're paying attention?
Well, I'm glad you're paying attention.
Yeah.
I'm glad, you know, we've had some conversations with lots of farmers, people that have said, you know, this is great. This is really important information. We've tried to look for some sort of economic reasoning, and it's really good to start this conversation and to have some key numbers presented with the material that's available right now. We're knocking on doors. We're going back to government on the 10th and 11th. We've got meetings with pretty much almost all political parties. What the difference in understanding, I think, between officials and MPs and the whole network that is government and industry bodies, there's so much difference in opinion. Everyone's educated at a different level. This is not a level playing field amongst, you know, who knows what. So everyone's putting together pieces of the puzzle. So when we come out with new information, you know, when we worked with Jack Heineman to analyze what we found is to be the precipice of the bill, we came out with that information to educate, to say, okay, now we know. And we want you to know what we know. And so we are trying so hard to get all the information that we're gathering out because it's adding pieces to the puzzle.
Okay, we're media interested. Any other media going with this story?
I was on Mike Hosking's the other
morning.
Farmers Weekly's picked up some stuff. You know, we're getting there. I think we had an article in the Herald. The last press, not this, with this press release, but the last one. So we're starting to gain some traction. We've got to let people know what's going on. No one knows.
Yeah. Can you believe it? Well, I can, actually.
I can. I think this bill's coming the last day right before Christmas holiday. And then we're going to be, you know, we're going to have to put in a submission through the select committee process. I'm really hopeful the government will give a full 6-month select committee process because we need people to have time to understand what this bill is, become educated, have discussions, and do the due diligence that the government's not doing.
Nice to have you coming on, Tiffany. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Tiffany Tompkins, who is the Chief Executive of Organics Aotearoa New Zealand. We'll keep following this, Tiffany, don't you worry.
Thank you.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps,
tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.